Today, this morning, we're talking about, we've been in a series called Under Construction, and we are all people under construction, that God's designed all of us to grow in specific ways. I want to talk to you this morning about a directive that Jesus gave to his disciples and in turn has given to each and every one of us. If you have your Bibles this morning, turn, if you would, to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 4. How many have your Bibles? Raise your Bible up. Yeah. Sweet. I love you guys so much. Good job bringing in Bibles. Matthew chapter 4. There was a little boy, and he had a fishing line, and he put his fishing line down a drain, and he was sitting on the curb with his fishing pole. Lady come by, she's feeling sorry for him. She gave him 50 cents. And while she gave him that money, she asked him, she said, "Have you caught anything today?" He said, "You're the 10th one." We got a little boat up here. We got the fishing pole. I want to talk to you about fishing this morning. It's interesting, the directive that God has given us, but the title of my message is When Fishermen Don't Fish. Jesus said, "Follow me and I will make you fishers of men." Matthew chapter 4, verse 18, as Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come follow me," Jesus said, "and I will make you fishers of men." At once, everybody say at once. At once they left their nets and they followed him. Going from there, he saw two brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat and with their father Zebedee preparing nets, and Jesus called to them, and immediately, everybody say immediately. Immediately they left the boats and their father and they followed him. This is a gospel account how Jesus enlisted four of his 12 disciples. One third of the team is called right here, right out of the fishing business. The appeal Jesus used was quite simple. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. These guys had been on the lake all of their lives. They were probably what we would call veteran fishermen. From now on, they would invest their lives in something with eternal significance. They would become fishers of men. The truth of the matter is that Jesus has called all of us to be fishers of men. And when we do that, we are continuing the work that Jesus began when he walked on the face of the earth. Luke chapter 19, verse 10 says this, "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save those who were lost." Christ's purpose in coming was to seek and to save lost people. His key objective was not to bring comfort, not even to bring happiness or healing or contentment, wealth or power. His primary purpose was to seek and to save those who were lost. John 20, 21, Jesus said, "As the Father has sent me, I am also sending you." Directive. We have been called to carry on the work of Christ. This is not an isolated call that relates to just a few people. They're not just a preacher or the staff, but all who have called on the name of the Lord. We all have a responsibility. We have a responsibility in our homes. We have a responsibility in our home church. We have responsibility at work. We have responsibility to those watching online. We all are people of influence. You are a person of influence, and those who you have influence with, God-given influence, he has entrusted you to go fishing. And to do something with the influence that he's blessed you with. Some try to shame people for witnessing, but that's not our job. I don't believe that we would ever be a good fisher of men if we were shamed into fishing. I believe those who are the best fishermen are the ones who love to fish. When we love God, we will love to fish. 1 Corinthians 11:1, Paul said this, it was a bold challenge. He said, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. Follow me as I follow Christ. You are the only one that many people out in your world see as a follower of Christ. People would never follow people who look like they've been baptized in pickle juice. Why would they want that? You are the one that they look to as God's representative for the kingdom of God. So if Jesus' number one priority was to seek and to save that which was lost, and if we claim to be followers of Christ and Jesus called us to continue the work that he began, shouldn't it be our number one priority? Really, shouldn't it be our number one priority to seek and to save those who are lost? That should be the number one priority of our life. We, like Peter, must become fishers of men. But there's a problem. Most Christians aren't that concerned with fishing. Most churches, sadly to say, are not that concerned with fishing. Have you ever gone fishing and somebody you were with was catching more fish than you were? What did you do? I ain't gonna fish no more. Am I right? Aren't you glad you came to church? The truth of the matter is that while most churches give lip service to seeking the lost, many have gone year after year without a single conversion. If they were brutally honest, many churches would have to admit that they have given up on fishing a long time ago because they couldn't catch any fish. This is how many Christians think we should fish. Many people think the fish should just jump in the boat and they should just sit there. Video.
We're getting whacked in this garden. Four, we got another. Whoa! Oh, catch one! You couldn't catch him. Almost
have my knife. Oh, yeah. I think you get the picture there. Many are willing to accept fish if they just jumped in the boat. Let me say this, and I'm very serious about this. Jesus never said to build a church and expect people to show up. He said, go into the highways and the byways and compel them to come in. You are the ones who are compelling people to come and come to church. Sadly, sometimes people are repelled from church instead of compelled to church. We must encourage strong, healthy growth to be productive, fruit-producing Christians. Here at Lone Star, there's just one major question that we ask. We ask, who will it reach, teach, and disciple? What we are called to do, we feel that God gave us this mandate to reach people for Christ, to teach them, and then to disciple them. And if there's any one of those three things that are missing, then we have not done our job as a church. And so we have built and we are growing leaders within the church to reach, teach, and disciple. And many people are coming through the discipleship class. Many are coming through leadership class. Many are coming through ministerial classes so they can be more better. More, I love that word though. More better Christians. I know we're not in Louisiana, but I thought I'd throw that out. So I got a question for you. How many like to hear a fishing story? I'll tell you a fishing story. Several years back, I preached this sermon, and I've got volumes of sermons, as you might guess, and I'd always date them and figure out and write down where I preached them so that I wouldn't, so I try not to ever repeat a sermon. And then God spoke to my heart, and he said, what if I want you to preach that same sermon over again, and you made a declaration you're not going to preach that sermon? He's like, yeah. So this is one of them sermons you're going to get. We're going to get in a boat. See, if you want to really want to go fishing, you're going to get in a boat. I'm going to sit down. It's been a long morning. Here's my story. Now it came to pass that a group existed, and they called themselves fishermen. And lo, there were many, many fish in the waters all around. In fact, the whole area was surrounded by streams and lakes filled with fish, and the fish were very, very hungry. Week after week, month after month, and year after year, those who called themselves fishermen met in meetings and talked about their call to fish, the abundance of fish, and how they all might go fishing. Year after year, they carefully defined what fishing really means. They defined fishing as an occupation and declared that fishing was always to be the primary task of fishermen. These fishermen built large buildings for local fishing headquarters. The plea was that everyone should be a fisherman and that every fisherman should fish. One thing they didn't do, however, was fish. In addition to meeting regularly, they organized a board to send out fishermen to other places where there were many fish. The board was formed by those who had a great vision and courage to speak about fishing, to define fishing, to promote ideas about fishing in faraway streams and lakes where they had a lot of different species of fish. Also, the board hired a staff and they appointed committees and they held a meeting to define fishing, to defend fishing, and also to decide what new streams should be sought out to fish in. But the staff and the committee and the members of the committee, they didn't fish. Large, elaborate, expensive training centers were built whose original and primary purpose was to teach fishermen how to fish. Over the years, courses were offered on the needs of fish, the nature of fish, how to define fish, the psychological reaction of fish, and how to approach and feed fish. Those who taught had doctorates in fishology. But the teachers, they didn't fish, they just taught about fishing. Further, the fishermen built large printing houses to publish fishing guides. Presses were kept busy night and day, produced material solely devoted to fishing methods and equipment and programs to arrange and encourage programs to talk about fishing. The Speakers Bureau also provided to schedule special speakers on the subject of fishing. After one stirring message in a meeting on the necessity of fishing, one young fella left the meeting and he actually went fishing. The next day he reported that he had caught two outstanding fish. They even took pictures of him, but he held it out there like this. He said, they look bigger. I just threw that in. He was honored for his excellent catch and was scheduled to visit many conferences and tell how he did it. So he quit fishing. In order to have time to tell about the experience and to the other fishermen, he was also placed on the fisherman's general board as a person having considerable experience. Can you imagine how hurt some were when one day an individual suggested that those who don't fish really were not fishermen? No matter what they claimed, if they didn't fish, they weren't fishermen. Yet, it sounded correct. Is a person really a fisherman if year after year he never catches a fish? Is one following if he isn't fishing? The most challenging question that was asked by the young man who actually fished was, if you really are a fisherman, then where are your fish? Jesus said, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Paul Harvey said something one time a long time ago. He said, many in churches today have moved from being fishers of men to the keepers of the aquarium. Jesus' words are, follow me, I will make you fishers of men. It poses a very important question. If we are not fishermen, are we really followers of Christ? I'd like to share with you what happens briefly now when we don't do what we were created to do, when fishermen don't fish. My first point is, when fishermen don't fish, generally they fight. Have you ever been in a church that the same people every Sunday and no new people come? It's just the same people. Sooner or later, they start fighting. And then they split the church. And then they build another church on the other side of the street. And then when fishermen don't fish, generally they just fight. We want this to be a fishing church, not a fighting church. We're not going to do the fighting thing. We're just going to keep fishing. Max Lucado, he wrote a book, and he told a story about how when he was a young man, his dad took him and a friend of his fishing, and a northeaster blew in, and they were in their camper, and the wind was blowing so hard they couldn't get out of the camper, and so they played Monopoly, played games that day, thinking that it'd blow over. Well, the next day it was colder. So they just stayed in the camper another day. And he said by the time the third day came around that the camper was iced over and they didn't even play like they were happy. They were all grumpy and they were all biting at each other and they just decided that they just go home. When fishermen don't fish, generally they just fight. Second thing they do is when they don't fish, if they don't fight, they flee, they run. You remember Peter, don't you? You remember whenever Jesus told him, he said, when the rooster crows three times, you will deny me. Peter's like, I'll never deny you. And he spends just a few hours away from Jesus, and he's thinking that Jesus is going to the cross and he's going to die. And he denies Jesus three times, and the rooster crowed. And the Bible says when the rooster crowed that he went away and he wept bitterly. I don't know if you've ever done this before, but there's been times in my life when I went away. And then from my letting God down and not being obedient to God and taking my eyes off of what he'd asked me to do, to be a fisher for men, doing something different. I ran from God and God convicted me and I went away and I wept bitterly. Is there anybody here that could just make me feel a little bit better and say, you ran away and you wept bitterly? Because you're either going to fight or you're going to flee. And if you don't fight or you don't flee, you're going to do something else. Here it is. Forget. I forgot. Need my drummer. It's interesting that Jesus had told the disciples so many times that he would go to the cross and that he would raise again and but whenever he died, they really didn't think it was possible. And here's what it's found in John chapter 21. Said, here's what Peter and the disciples did. Verse 3, it said, Simon Peter said this, I'm going out to fish. And they said, we'll go with you. So they went out, got in the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Here he is, he's returning to his past, to the life that he knew. The fisher of men had once again just became an ordinary fisherman. You can fish for a fish and it will feed you one meal, or you can fish for a man and give them eternity for the rest of their life. You can invest in fishing for fish, or you can invest in fishing for men. The fish will bring temporary satisfaction. Fishing for men will bring eternal satisfaction. I just want to say today that God's looking for somebody who wants to go fishing. He wants somebody who will stand up and say, God, send me, I'll go. If you want me to go to Greece and have a Texas party so I can find people to come to know you, I'll go to Greece. If you want me to go to my place of business, if you want me to go to the grocery store, if whatever you want me to go, God, I'm in. I just got to say this. In our culture today, so many people say, don't be talking about politics and religion. If anything ever needed to be talked about, I don't know about politics, but I know God needs somebody that will speak up and stop keeping their mouth shut about the good things that God's done for them. Too many times we're intimidated by the things that God has asked us to do, because he said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Put yourselves in the shoes of these missionaries today. They're going someplace. They're taking their family there. They're saying, God, I'm putting all my trust, I'm putting all my confidence in you, and I'm going to do whatever you want me to do, whenever you want me to do it, however you want me to do it. I'm in. Because you said, follow me and I will make you a fisher of men. It's a mandate that God has put on his church. And my friend, we as God's church cannot afford to just ignore this one valuable mandate from the King of Kings and the Lord. You were created to fish for men. Years ago, I'm going to quit. Years ago. Before Darla and I were married, my brother and I and his wife and they had a little boy. We decided that we would go to the Rodeo Cowboys and do church services for the cowboys at the rodeos, because they live out on the road and they don't have a home church. And one of the first rodeos that we went to was Casper, Wyoming, and we went there and so we wanted people to come, so we went and bought about 5 dozen donuts and got some coffee. You gotta have bait if you're going fishing. I mean, Y'all had a little this morning. All right? See, it works. What we didn't know was that they were running the slack there at Casper that morning, on Sunday morning, and then that evening they were running the slack at Dodge City, Kansas. And when the slack got over Casper, Wyoming, every one of those cowboys jumped in their truck, loaded their horses, left, and there was one lady in the stands, and we have 5 dozen donuts. So he's like, what are we going to do? And we thought, well, maybe we could just go to Dodge City. Russ said, no, we got this lady. So we decided we'd just stay here and have church with that one lady. I led the singing. It was a duet. And Russ preached. We fed her all the donuts she could eat, all the coffee she could drink. At the end of the church service, her name was Red Thompson. She was one of the very first women saddle bronc riders, believe it or not. I know most of y'all probably didn't even know they made them, but this is back in the day. She was working on a ranch there. She had a little bit older lady. At the end of the sermon, my brother looked at her. He said, Red, her name was Red Thompson. He said, Red, I don't know if you've ever invited Christ come into your heart or not, but if you haven't, I'd like to just make that opportunity available to you. And Red Thompson looked him in the eye and she said, that's why I came to church today. What would have happened if we'd have jumped in our trucks and went to Dodge City? I believe with all my heart that if I was the only one on the face of this earth, Jesus would have went to the cross for me. I think he would have done that for you. You have influence where you're at. Moms and dads, you have influence with your children. Grandparents, you have influence with your kids, with your grandkids. You have influence wherever you work, wherever you go, whatever you do. We got up this before church started. Josh got up and he said, like us on Facebook. I'm sure somebody's out there, what are they talking about Facebook for? Reason is we're fishing. We're fishing for people to come to know Christ as their personal Savior, the greatest gift known to man. We want to do anything and everything we can to help Jesus because we have fallen in love with him and we just want to be all we can be for him.
Yes, yes, yes.
Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus, for your word. I thank you, Lord, for the challenge that you placed when you said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. I pray, Lord, that you would help us all to value people. Lord, I don't know if we could ever value them as much as you value them because you proved your love for us when you went to the cross. Help us, Jesus, to love people like you love them, to care for others the way you care for others. Somehow, I just feel like we fall short so many times. We thank you, Jesus, for your patience, for your grace and your mercy. But Lord, I pray, oh God, that you would help us to learn how to be better fishermen for you. In Jesus' name. I'd like for you to keep your heads bowed and your eyes closed for just a second. If you've never invited Jesus to come into your heart, here's what the Bible says. It says that we've all sinned and all come short of the glory of God. There isn't anybody in this world that hasn't sinned. The only one that did not sin in this world, his name is Jesus. And he lived on this earth for 33 years, never sinned. And the reason that he could be that perfect sacrifice is because he knew no sin. He is God. And the thing that makes Christianity, the one true religion, is that he is the only one who was raised from the dead. He conquered death so we could understand that he is God. If you've never invited Christ to come into your heart, or maybe if you haven't, you just haven't been living for him, just would like to invite you to simply by raising your hand, say, "Preacher, I need Jesus in my life. I need to make him the Lord of my life." Slip your hand up high. Anybody? "Preacher, that's me." Yeah, right here. We got a little girl right here. Anybody else? Slip your hand up high. Yeah, over here. Thank you. Yeah, leave your hands up till we get a Bible in it, please. Anybody else? It's the greatest gift known to man. Yeah, thank you. Thank you, partner. Leave your hand up. Anybody else? "Preacher, that's me. I need Jesus in my life. I don't want to walk out of here not knowing where I'm going to spend eternity." Yeah. Once you get your Bible, you can put your hands down when you get your Bible. Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else? Yep, over here. Yeah, bless you, buddy. Bless your heart. Anybody else? "Preacher, that's me. I need Jesus in my heart. I need to make him the Lord of my life." Anybody else? Anybody else? Thank you, Lord. It's the greatest gift known to mankind. It's as simple as accepting him as your Savior. Anybody else? If you raised your hand, do me a favor and look up at me. If you raise your hand, would you mind coming up and let me pray with you back over here? Come on. Yeah, come on. Come on, I'd love to have you. Come on. Yeah, come on, baby. Right here. Yeah, thank you. Thank you, buddy. God, everybody, thank you. Stay right here. I want to pray with you, okay? Bless your heart, girls. I'm so proud of you, girl. Bless you, baby. Bless your heart, girl. Bless you. Look at this, sweetheart. Bless you, guys. Bless you, buddy. Proud of you. It's a good day. Here's what the Bible says. The Bible says, if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that Jesus is alive, that we'll be saved. Jesus is more alive today than he's ever been. And he's alive and he wants you to invite him. And really what happens, what we're getting ready to do, is invite the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, to come into our hearts and to live with us. So I want to help you pray. Just bow your heads and repeat after me. Y'all help us pray. Just say, "Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me. Thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. Lord, I am a sinner. Please forgive me. I invite you into my heart. I invite you into my life. From this day forward, I give my life to you. Help me to read my Bible, to pray, show up for church, and get baptized. I love you, Jesus. Teach me to love you more. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen." Amen. We love you guys. Listen, go visit those guys over there for just a second. Let me show these girls here. Let me show everybody. These two girls here. Look at everybody. Come on. Go over there and visit with those guys for just a second if you don't mind. These two little girls here, we dedicated them to the Lord when they was little babies. And now they ask Jesus to come into their hearts. This is like a preacher's dream right here. Preacher's dream, you dedicate them to the Lord. Mom and daddy helps raise them right, and they ask Jesus to come into their hearts, and then you baptize them, and then whatever else. Love you, girls. Beautiful girls. We love you. Thank you. Y'all stand with me, please. Love you guys. We have a prayer team up here for those of you who may need special prayer. I think the challenge is clear this morning to influence the world that you've been given, to influence the people that God has trusted you with. And understand that this is a lifetime challenge for you. And if it was important to Jesus, it should be important to us.
Amen.
And so I just want to just encourage you all. I'm going to say, preacher, I haven't spoke up like I need to, and I am going to speak up more about my relationship with Christ. Let me help you too before you raise your hand. There's nothing like leading someone to the Lord and helping them to find Jesus. Did you know that the band invested in these people's lives? You invested, you brought them. By you participating in church, you're helping others come to Christ. And there's so many things we don't even realize that we are participating in that makes a difference in people's lives. And every little thing becomes a big thing with God. And so I just want to encourage you. And how many of you say, preacher, I need, there's those who love God, but they don't talk about it. And because a lot of times we get intimidated. And I just want to encourage you to start talking about Jesus more. That's really what this is all about. How many say, preacher, I need to do that more? Raise your hand. Leave your hands up. I want to pray for you. Raise your other hand. Let's just surrender everything we got. Lord, you see these hands. Lord, you understand more than anything who we are. God, I pray first of all for the passion that you have put in us, oh God, that you would raise that passion level of who you are to us. I pray, oh God, that you would give us the words. I pray, Lord, if nothing else, just invite them to church so they can come to know you. I pray, Lord, that you'd help us to know your word better so that we can share your word with others and to be passionate about it and excited about it. So excited we can't help but talk about it. Thank you, Lord, for everybody. Bless everybody with their hands up. And I pray, God, that you'd help us to that you would bring a name to us right now. Everybody that's got their hand up, that you would bring a name to them, Lord, that needs to know you as their personal Savior, and that we would act upon that encouragement from the Holy Spirit right now to bring that person to you. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, we love y'all. God bless you. Have a great week. Love y'all.